Today I'm going to talk about the supernatural church. Now, it's not part of the church series, but it is something that's been stirred up on the inside of me due to the recent group that I was in amongst other leaders in this community. Well, I just love those Tuesday lunches. But, you know, people get upset with the prosperity gospel. Prosperity is in the Word of God. But the thing about it is that, again, some people have abused it. No doubt about that. But prosperity is a word that is in the Bible. It is a theme that is in the Bible, and it's something that could be preached on in the right way. God wants us to prosper in every area of our life. If you don't want that, that's on you. But I'm going to take it. I want my family to be prosperous. I want my relationship with my friends to be prosperous. I want my the church to prosper in everything. I want you all to prosper in your jobs, in your relationships. Prosperity is not an evil word. And if you think that prosperity is just money, then you totally missed it. Can y'all turn some air on? Is it air on? Sweating like a stuck pig. But I think what's worse than the prosperity gospel is a powerless gospel. It isn't just going around preaching and just sharing the good news of Jesus and then nothing happens. You know, the Bible talks about in Mark 16 that the disciples went everywhere. Verse 20, that the disciples went everywhere preaching and Jesus was working with them, confirming the word with the accompanied signs. Amen. You have everyone going around preaching the gospel and then there's no signs, no nothing, no anything. How can that be, Pastor Tim? Well, maybe it's because they don't believe. I literally had someone tell me years ago, well, those signs following you, that doesn't happen for everyone. I said, I know. You have to believe. If you don't believe, don't get upset with me. If you don't believe and signs and wonders don't follow you, don't get upset with Jesus. Don't try to justify it. God can use anyone, Pastor Tim, but here's the thing. God is an extraordinary God and he will never use you for ordinary things. We can do that within our own power. You've seen what happened with the Tower of Babel. They all came together in unity, started building this tower, but they were doing it without God. And when we're going out and doing things without the leading of the Holy Spirit, then that becomes a little bit dangerous. But see, we also need to learn to discern what is going on and what's in a person's heart. Literally, I had people try to tell me many in a day. If I had a nickel for every time I heard that, many in that day will say, Lord, Lord. You have Matthew 7, the first one. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? Done many wonders in your name? And then he will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, in the context of the scripture in verse 1, it also talks about not judging. We're not supposed to judge. Well, we're talking about we're not supposed to have rash judgments. Be so quick to judge. Jesus talks about judgment. He talks about judging another. The disciples talked about judging. Shall we not judge each other? But we do it with discernment of the Spirit of God. Not just making rash decisions, rash judgments. And people have allowed this scripture to basically stop them from doing what God has called them to do. Because, again, this is Matthew. He's talking to Mark and he gives the Great Commission and these signs will follow. Prophesying is not evil. Casting out demons is not an evil thing. You understand what I'm saying? Doing wondrous works is not evil. It's only evil because you don't have a personal relationship with God. That's why he says, I never knew you. See, Jesus' prayer to the disciples, for the disciples, was that they may know him. If you have a genuine relationship with Jesus, you have that fellowship with him, you are able to do these things. Some choose not to. They opt out. See, it's not a cult. That's a cop out for them. Because they choose not to. They don't expect anything. That was my opening. Come on. Yeah. Let's go. Luke 12:57. Let's go there. Says this, yes, and why even of yourselves do you not judge what is right? We're supposed to judge what is right. Also John 7:24. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. It's unrighteous to be judging off of hearsay. Sitting with them, my goodness, I'm going all over the place with my notes, but I'll get back to it. If I repeat it, just go with it. Act like you'd never heard it. It's repetition. We're just watering the word. But one thing I don't like is when people imply. God does not imply. He's a direct. If you read from Genesis all the way to Revelation, he is very, very direct in his orders and what he's saying. And so is Jesus. He is very direct. The disciples in Acts 4:15 says this, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further. See, they're trying to stop. Among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. The enemy is always going to try to stop you from doing what God has called you to do, doing the works of Christ. We are saved by grace through faith, and not by works that any man should boast. But when it comes to those works, those miracles, signs, and wonders, boy, they don't like it. Those demons don't like it. You know why? Because they've been too busy doing what I've been calling the petty life. They choose to tear each other down. They got to try and stop you. We're not supposed to be a stumbling block for each other. First Corinthians 6 says this, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? See, it's important to use discernment when it comes to judgment. Condemning judgment is what you need to stay away from. Condemning judgment. And sometimes when we correct with the word, some people may look at it as punishment or judgment, but it's not. It's correction. 2 Timothy 3:16. We know that scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So everyone will be equipped, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what the word of God is for. Oh, I don't like that. He's judging based upon that. No, that's the word. When the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. You know, the first thing that Jesus said, don't be like the hypocrites who love to stand in the synagogues and on street corners so that they may be seen by men. Wait a minute. Now, if somebody was standing in a synagogue and on a street corner, they would feel like they're being judged. But it's just correction. says, don't be like them. That's okay. Correction is good. We all need correction at times. But discerning judgment needs to be done without manipulation and intimidation. See, when you're trying to control, manipulate, intimidate, and dominate, that's witchcraft. So how can you correct with the word of God while using control, manipulation, intimidation, and domination? That's perverse. That's twisted. And I will never submit to that. Got it? All they were doing was just trying to imply, one after another. And it's almost like Double Dutch trying to jump in. I just sat there. Falsely accused? Go right ahead. You want to throw more dirt on me? Go right ahead. I'm a seed. I'm a seed. I don't know why people want to take my kindness for weakness. I'm a pretty nice guy, I think. I don't try to start up trouble and drama unless I'm up here. I get that. If you don't like what I say up here, I get that. I get that. But certain people don't think that I would just, I probably won't do that. But they're acting like I won't say their name. They're acting like I won't go back at them. But until the Lord says to speak, I'll keep my mouth shut. How about that? That'll always be good. Discretion will preserve you, and understanding will keep you. God is very direct. Deuteronomy 28:1, he says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. That's very direct in what he's saying. Ezekiel says this, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. And again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath and to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews, basically tendons, on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. God doesn't call you to do anything ordinary. Now, can you imagine God implying, well, if I were these bones, I would grow some tendons and flesh. How sad is that? How sad is that? Can you imagine Jesus with the fig tree in Mark 11? With the fig tree. He cursed it. It says the next morning as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. He noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little way off. So he went over to see if he can find any figs. But there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, may no one ever eat your fruit again. And the disciples heard him say it. Jesus hanging out with his disciples. Trees right there. See, there's no figs. And he begins to imply, well, if I was a tree, I would have some figs on it. If God created me, I would be a blessing to people so they can come and eat and sit under my shade. But no, some trees don't want to bloom. Now, how crazy is that? Now, they thought he was great. I mean, speaking to a tree. But to imply. And after that, Jesus goes on in verse 15, I believe. When they arrived back to Jerusalem, Jesus entered into the temple and began to drive out the people buying and selling animals for sacrifices. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. And he stopped everyone from using the temple as a marketplace. He said to them, the scriptures declare my temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have turned it into a den of robbers. And again, here comes Jesus implying, well, My Father said, my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. But some people want to turn it into a den of robbers, den of thieves. You know, if somebody had a whip, they would drive them out. No, Jesus did it himself, and he said it himself because he is very, very direct. And that's the way sometimes we need to be like that with each other. I thrived under the best coaching when they were direct with me. They didn't beat around the bush. They didn't use manipulation in order to coach. They were real to me. Garner here, when I was playing for him. Got it. I'm good. You ain't got to say a word. I know it. Got it. But when people use manipulation in order to do what they want to do, and it doesn't matter how subtle it is, because the enemy didn't come as a big old elephant to come and deceive Adam and Eve. He came as a serpent. He was cunning and he was crafty. And sometimes people could be so calm, but yet be so cunning and so crafty in how they're trying to deliver everything. But yet they're using witchcraft on you. I won't stand for it. Witchcraft don't work on me. And it don't work on you because you are a child of God. Amen. Woo, that got me fired up. Come on. We don't need to be preaching this powerless gospel. There's demonstrations that come with it. Well, we're just not going to do that. Every church can do something. God can make the simplest thing. See, we can all get together. Somebody can be getting out of the hospital. And we all get together. We're going to get meals for them. That's a good thing. But the world can do that. What's different? What's different from the church than from the world? But see, when you're sitting at home and you're in prayer, and the Lord says, get up and go to the store and get these ingredients here. And when you get home, I want you to make a meal for so-and-so over there. They're dealing with some stuff. And then you begin, get up and go to the store. You get all your ingredients. You come back home. You chop all the onions and whatever you're preparing. What God told you to prepare. And then you'd get your best Tupperware. With a lid, not with foil. No, it's fine. Come on. Saying, I want it back. And you give it to them. And then they look at you and they begin to cry. Because it was an answered prayer. See, something that looks ordinary just became extraordinary because you were obedient to the voice of God. God doesn't use us for the ordinary stuff. But when we're sitting there, we're listening to what he is saying, we're being obedient to what he's saying, I'm telling you, he can do mighty great exploits through you. Amen? We just got to be expecting that. We got to be yielded to that. Acts 19 says this. Wait a minute. Yes, let's. We can go to Acts 19, but I won't read it. He says, many in that day would say, Lord, Lord. They have to have a personal relationship with Jesus. But Acts 19 says this. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jews basically means they traveled from place to place. Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Now, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? There's no power in it. They didn't have the right to use the name of Jesus. They didn't have a relationship with him. See, you're authorized to use the name of Jesus. It's like a person going around impersonating a police officer. See, policemen, they went through the academy in every which way, and they did the right thing. But see, when you go get on Amazon and get yourself a badge and a uniform and stuff like that, or what have you, And then you go out and you go to auctions and you buy some of those police cars that look like a old time police car with a big old headlight and stuff like that. And you slap on your own decal and you're going around pulling people over. Now you may get away with it a few times, but somebody's going to notice you ain't real. I don't have to listen to you. And these demons knew that. And he says this also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. So the name of Jesus is magnified through miracles.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Still want to opt out? I want to magnify his name. And it doesn't matter if people are trying to go off of something that happened 25 years ago, 30 years ago. I know what happened when you were 5. Man, get out of here. Are you kidding me? You got the wrong, you're a day late and a dollar short. God's already forgiven me of all that mess. And the things you're trying to put on me now ain't gonna matter. I already know. Why? Lie. Straight up lie. They bring it out. I may have to. I'm a beg. I know we ain't supposed to beg. Lord, please let me out them. Please. Please. Please let me say their name. They're acting like I won't. They got the wrong person here. That's all right. We got to be obedient to what the Word of God says. I'll just pray for them. Because the reality of it is, I know who they are. I know who they use. I know what they say because I've discerned it. And the thing about it is, here's the thing. They're struggling with some stuff too. Because hurt people will do what? So I got to pray for them. I got to lift them up. I got to be a brother. And I'll tell you what, in the flesh, that is so hard to do. But we don't yield ourselves to the flesh. We yield ourselves to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God and what it says, because that's going to be more beneficial for us in the long run. The flesh, oh, that'd be easy. Brandon knows what I would want to do. But I can't yield to that. I got to walk in love, and I'm going to let God handle that. Hebrews 2:4. Who are we to reject it? Who are we to reject what God has given us? Hebrews 2:4 says, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. I'm not going to reject a gift. We talked about a couple weeks ago. There's 9 spiritual gifts. There's people who have rejected. That's them. If they believe that the Lord is taking them that way, God bless you. But I'm going to just keep on moving. If I got to be like the tortoise, then so be it. But I'm going to keep on moving. I'm going to keep on advancing. We're going to advance and hold. Advance and hold. We got to keep on moving. You know, sometimes we like, you know, when I go to certain cities, I love that carpool. I look for that carpool lane so I can just fly. Doing the speed limit. But then sometimes that carpool lane ends up fading off. You're going to have to get right back into traffic. See, it was comfortable over here, but now we're going to have to get back into traffic. And sometimes God will lead us back into that traffic. Why? Because he wants us to do his will. It's a whole lot easier to do. Lord, I just want to do your will in the comfort zone. But he wants us to do his will when there's opposition, because his name is going to be magnified through it. It can't be easy all the time. When you're doing those things, listening to him, his name will be magnified. Romans 14:13 says this, then let us no more criticize and blame and pass judgment on one another, but rather decide and endeavor never to put a stumbling block or an obstacle or a hindrance in the way of a brother. We shouldn't be a stumbling block for each other. We should be helping one another. Jesus didn't go around trying to make it hard and more difficult for the disciples. He just told them the truth. He was very direct, but he gave them power and authority. What more do you need? We shouldn't be a stumbling block. The life of a believer is to bless, to be a blessing to others, not a curse. And some people, honestly, abusers will continue to look for ways to abuse you again. They'll find new ways. It's almost like a revolving door for them. Oh, well, they're doing this, so that gives me the right to do it. No, it don't. If you're a believer, that gives you the right to walk in love. It's just my opinion. No, it's actually the word. When you're sharing the gospel of the kingdom of God, Jesus works with you. He confirms the word with the accompanying signs. There should never be a gospel preached without demonstration. Like to hear what they have to say Tuesday. Well, Pastor Tim, there's been a lot of people in history that have done this. This person here, they wrote this book. That person there may have done that. Who did Jesus say the works that we'll do? The works that he did, shall we do? He patterned it after himself, not after other people within history. We can find anyone to do something and have any kind of example out there, but the example is Jesus. He's the measuring stick. People don't like tongues because it's weird. They don't like it. I love it. I love it. Keeps me from having that. And I'm not knocking anyone if you do. I'm just saying it is so beneficial for you. Spirit wise, it is so beneficial because you're just building yourself up. I mean, it's just like self-talk. If you're out there doing something, all right, come on, you need to get this going. And sometimes it's good. All right, dude, wake up, man. You need to, I did that when I was playing sports. Dude, your man scored on you again. What is your problem? Move your feet. But praying in tongues, boy, that just gets you stirred up. I'm talking about the boldness just begins to rise on the inside of you. There's nothing like it. Well, do I have to? No, you get to. You get to. But I'm just going to follow love. Well, scripture says follow love. And eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Desire, that means to crave. Well, I don't know about all that stuff. We're not going to be prophesying and all that stuff. But what do you do with scriptures when it says in Acts 2? Do we have that on there? But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall what? Your old men shall dream dreams, and my maid and all my men servants and all my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Well, we don't do that prophesying in here. You ain't gonna have a choice. He's going to be, are we living in the last days? We're not the early church. And there's people that will try to go, I said, I'm not trying to judge. I'm just saying, there's people that will act like they're the early church. But then they leave out the Holy Spirit. Now, if you read the word in the early church, when they got filled with the Holy Spirit, what happened? They spoke in tongues. Ain't that something? You can't get away from it. Well, we're going to be like the early church. All right. That should be more power, more anointing, more mercy, more grace than ever before. And more tongues. And more miracles. And more signs and wonders. Not just a small group. They had to meet in homes. They didn't have buildings yet until Paul came and established that. Remember, he preached so long a man fell out the window and went down and raised him up to life and kept on preaching. What are you going to do when your children start that one day? All of a sudden just come home one day and they're just prophesying the word of God. Don't do that. Don't. Shh. People are going to hear you. Shh. Don't you stop that child. You let them go. And you write down everything they say and get your recorder or something like that. Jesus is coming for his bride. And it's going to be wonderful. And I guarantee you, it ain't going to be no powerless church. Heard somebody talking about, where's the anointing? The anointing used to break the yoke. Burden removing, yoke destroying anointing. You don't see that much anymore. Too busy doing a group. Nothing wrong with the groups if you're doing all that. I'm not saying you can't connect. Connect with people. Talk with people. Share your testimonies with them. Love on them. Walk on them. Encourage them. Build them up. Nothing wrong with that. God bless you if you're doing it. But where's the anointing? Every person in here that is a born-again believer has the anointing on them. That ain't just me, my title. Christ lives in me just like he lives in you. Don't let people scare you off. Well, I wouldn't be doing that. Hush, puppy. Hush. There's power that comes with it. It's not to shortchange people, but yes, God may have done some things through others with limitations, but why fight the good fight of faith with one hand behind your back? Free it up. That stuff keeps you in bondage. My denomination, free it up. Remember Brother Hagin talked about he got the left foot of fellowship from a few denominations. Why? Because he dared to believe the word. Imagine that. Imagine that. Psalm 78:41 says this. Yes, and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. It's the Israelites. You can read that whole chapter there. You would be like, are you kidding me? Again and again. I said, but yet sometimes we do that. Sometimes we can limit God with our thinking. I don't know if God cares about this situation. It's very small. No. He cares about the small. He cares about the big. He cares about the medium. The smedium. He cares about it all in your life. Never limit God. Take off the limitations. It don't matter what book you read. If it's not in the Word of God, leave it alone. Well, this person doesn't. You're not supposed to follow that person. You're supposed to follow Jesus. How we stop preaching a powerless gospel. And I leave you with this. 1 Corinthians 2:1-5. And it says, and I, brethren, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian church. When I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. But I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Our faith should be in the power of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life so that that demonstration lines up with what you've been sharing with people. It's in you. And if people criticize you, who gives a rip? Don't worry about that. You're in good company. Because they did it to Jesus. They did it to his disciples. They're going to do it to you. And you're not greater than your master. I love how he talked about in chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians. And some of you were puffed up as if I weren't coming to you. But when I do come, I want to see what power you have. Because the kingdom of God is not of talk, but of power. Whew. You put some stank on it on that one. We're not going to preach a powerless gospel. We're going to demonstrate. And we're going to dominate the kingdom of darkness. Amen? Amen. 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 Thank you, Father. If there's anyone in here that needs prayer for anything, sick, needs anything, head, neck, back, what have you, just raise your hand real quick. Stand on up. Stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up. Stand up. Somebody get around. Come on, we gonna practice what we preach, right? Get around them. Get around them. Lay hands on them. Just call those things that be not as though they were. Look around. Raise your hand if you need. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Begin praying over them. Begin speaking it. Speaking the word. With boldness. Don't be afraid. From here on out, we're going to be bolder than ever before. Amen. And I'll probably do a message without my iPad. I'm working on that. I'll give you 7 minutes. That's fine. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Let's stand. Father God, we just thank you for everyone here. We bless them, Lord. We bless them with abundance, with prosperity of your word, Lord. We thank you for everything they set their hand to. It will prosper. They are blessed coming in and blessed going out, Lord. They are the head and not the tail. They are above and not beneath, Father God. And they will not lack in any good thing. We thank you for the anointing flowing in their life. Your burden removing, yoke destroying anointing that they will be flowing in every day of their life, Lord. And we just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.